Helping Hand, weekly feature, airing statewide on HPR1 stations as part of All Things Considered, and then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org, where after we broadcast it on air each Friday, we archive our segments as our growing online directory for Helping Hand. We try to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event in the community, offers assistance to the disabled and to other folks who are among the most vulnerable and in need. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, we are pleased to be learning about the Domestic Violence Action Center. And we went right to the CEO, who this is a new guest for us on Helping Hand, and a real pleasure to welcome Nancy Creedman. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. Been a lot of mentions of domestic violence in our news cycle. She and I were just sort of talking about some before the program. You got police officers involved, a sports celebrity visiting the islands, making news relating to domestic violence. So it's always on the radar here and elsewhere, as we were discussing. Tell us a little bit about how you guys see your role in combating it and supporting folks who are victims of it here in the islands.
Well, I always relish these opportunities to let the community know we're here. We like to think everybody knows we're here, but really they don't. So it's a good opportunity to reinforce the availability of programs that we have at the Domestic Violence Action Center that are designed with the needs of survivors in sharp focus. So we have attorneys on staff who carry a divorce caseload.
Right, just stop there. Get that thing to stop, and then you'll take it. So we have attorneys on staff. I've got the right.
So sorry.
No, I've learned to remember in cues. So we have attorneys on staff.
We have attorneys on staff who carry a divorce caseload, restraining order caseload, paternity, post-decree. If a person already has a divorce and the orders made by the court aren't really working for them, we help them go back and fix it. We have advocates on staff that help people navigate their journey to safety and self-sufficiency, freedom. We have educators who help the community understand what a complex and costly problem domestic violence is. We have staff who help to improve the way the system responds. The system doesn't work all that well, believe it or not. We've got all these things in place, but they benefit from some improvement. We have public awareness campaigns, and we participate in public policy conversations. How do we make the laws stronger, holding perpetrators more accountable, helping victims be safer? So we're pretty busy. We have a legal helpline. We have on-site court staff. So if I'm going to get a restraining order, I will have the great benefit of encountering somebody from the Domestic Violence Action Center to help me get that restraining order.
Anybody who's ever had to deal with the law, it's just amazing. Where you guys plug in is a really valuable role, and it's impressive. It's based around a variety of ways of assisting people in one of the most crucial parts of the issue, and that's when it comes to putting some teeth behind the power to help you, the law is always the most critical thing. So it's really impressive, everything you just said. That's quite an explanation.
Can I add one thing to that? 30 years ago, when we first started thinking about the problem of domestic violence from a community perspective, we put all of our hope in the criminal and civil justice system. What we have since learned is the criminal justice system, law enforcement, civil justice may not be the only thing.
Sure.
And so we've had to broaden our perspective and really involve many sectors in the community. So we do a lot of work on the ground engaging communities, employers, healthcare providers, clergy. I mean, everybody can play an important role.
No, it's no doubt about that. And I get to hear about lots of different roles from the shelters that have to be anonymous to look after people and all kinds of different angles. So it's just neat to know that there's one like this, too, because there are times and it's very hard to find a source that will stand up for people. You know, you could be in a wheelchair. It's hard to find an advocate who's going to do what you need. And there's issues that come up. So it's just nice to know that there are. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have a bunch of lawyers who are willing to help you. And that's just a nice feeling to know that they're doing good.
Yeah.
That they're making a choice. So talking about that, dialing in on these services. First, the legal helpline. That sounds like a really important one. Describe that for a person who might need something like that who's listening.
Well, let's say I was assaulted by my husband last night. Mm-hmm. And when he left this morning to go to work, he said, I'm going to take all the money out of the bank account and you will never see those kids again. Somebody calls us and says, now, this is what my husband said. Can he do that? And then we sort through with her what's happened, what the history is, what her options are, how she can prevent that from happening, or how she can stay safe and not subject to his manipulation or
and
threats.
We'll give that line coming up in a moment, but the is that 24/7?
It is not 24/7.
Okay.
It's
but it's locally staffed. It's,
yes.
And it's
yes.
What are the hours of it?
8:30 to 4:30.
Monday through Friday.
Correct.
Just weekdays.
Right.
Still
correct.
A valuable resource. Anything with the law when it's comped to you is something that you learn in life is an extraordinary thing, and you always have to be grateful for it. Legal representation in court, you discussed it a little bit, but again, it's something that, much like you just so eloquently painted a picture of how the helpline might work,
right?
As we just give awareness. When I got the stuff from your website, so how would it work if somebody has a situation and they have to get into a court situation? Give an example that would apply, or be one that folks out there who may be in crisis in a related area that they could think, oh, I should call them.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm thinking I'm going to get a temporary restraining order. So I go and I file. It's a two-step process. So the first step is I go and I file what's called an ex parte petition. I explain why I think I need that restraining order, why I think I'm in danger, what has already occurred that places me in danger. That order gets served on my partner. And then in 2 weeks, we both have to come back. The judge says to me, in your own words, tell me what happened. And the judge says to him or her, in your own words, tell me what happened. Now, I have the right to have an attorney go with me. It is terrifying to be in a courtroom with your abuser sitting 4 or 5 feet away.
No doubt.
Knowing that he has already hurt me before. He has made it abundantly clear he is capable of hurting me again, and he will. So if I have somebody standing beside me, like a lawyer who really knows how to navigate the court system and use the language and help ask for what I need to protect my rights and my property and my safety, it's gigantic.
Yeah, there's no, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's incomparable, really. So our attorneys will go with people to help them get restraining orders. A divorce is a much longer process.
Sure.
So they help negotiate every step of the way. No, we won't do that. Yes, we will do this. No, she's unwilling to do that. No, her safety is at risk if he comes over to the house to pick up the kids. I mean, there's a lot of nuances to it.
You paint it fantastic. You're very good at explaining what you do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's fantastic what you do. Advocacy angle for, again, it's a different sort of thing. And it may also, perhaps your role in that stretches into less of a one-on-one thing and more into women in general. I don't know. I'm not going to, you know, steal your thunder, please. But on that, advocacy is really an element of what this segment is. I mean, I try to do this to advocate for the disabled and for the vulnerable, the homeless, the neglected, and the abused. So it's always impressive to see anyone doing that exact work. So when I see it, I have a sense of reverence for whatever level you're able to do it on, because those people need it. So
very few people feel as you do. So I really appreciate your kindness around that. People tend to think, you know, we kind of are annoying or nagging or making a big deal out of nothing or exaggerating or whatever, but we hear stories of thousands of people every year.
And how do you advocate? What is your thing?
Well,
we
advocate in two different ways. One is we advocate with the individual who needs some help making some difficult decisions 1,000 times along the way. I wonder if this is my best option. I wonder if that's my best option. Should I do this? Can I do that? I don't have enough information about this. So I am sitting with you, listening to you and asking you questions to help you reflect.
And again, this is women who are getting physically and psychologically abused by people that we're talking about.
Correct.
Okay, continue.
So it's an exhaustive undertaking for the person who is scared, has been tormented, has been threatened, doesn't know what their options are, doesn't really know what their rights are. Maybe they're an immigrant And they have been told, if you tell anybody, they're going to deport you. I mean, there's a lot of different constituencies in our community who need different things. So our staff at the Domestic Violence Action Center listen deeply to what a person is experiencing and help them figure out what they can do that's going to be in their best interest. The other kind of advocacy we do is we try to make the system work better.
Legislation stuff.
Well, public policy, which would be legislation, with our system partners. So we're in dialogue with the police. Let's say we get another example of a call to our helpline. The police came to my house last night after my boyfriend was beating me up, and this is what they did. Is that what they're supposed to do? And then we help figure out, okay, so where do you live? And maybe we call the watch commander. Maybe we offer some suggestions. Maybe we get some additional information.
Isn't it even more tricky when a woman is being beaten by a cop? And how does that woman get help? I mean, because you hear these stories in Hawaii, whether it's Maui, here, whether it's, you know, and you just think, wow, what an even more frightening position. This guy is armed by the government, essentially. Right. It's your word against his.
Correct.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, that does put a person in a particularly vulnerable situation. And we try to provide them the kind of special support they need to go up against an institution like the police department. There are great risks to coming forward, whether you're a victim of a police officer or you're just a victim of a businessman or a businesswoman. So there's not one formula or one recipe. I mean, we really have to figure out, listening to her, what her challenges have been and what her best strategy is. I mean, her restraining order, for example, is not perfect for everybody.
I mean, in most of these cases, that's an element, you know, most of the deaths that you read about, there was this, it's always frightening. I mean, I'm sure they serve a certain purpose, but it's so frightening. You always hear there was that, it was violated how many times. And it's just, it's frustrating because you just, it's something so wrong about it. It's like striking an animal. I don't know how to describe it to you. It just, it hits you in a certain.
Well, it seems so obvious.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's just like, hello, how can this even be occurring?
And how come we're not, as a community, rising up and doing what's necessary to stop it or respond when we see it?
Well, that's a great lead into how we can, you know, it's a wonder, you know, you can kind of do your own interview. You're kind of like a no insult meant with this. You're like a professional wrestler. When I used to do commercial rock radio, I had a boss who was like, you get a wrestler, they're the best. You just introduce them and they'll do the whole interview and then you say goodbye and they leave.
Thanks for coming.
So they just have it all contained. But there's so many ways. We obviously, I made a note earlier, lawyers, because there's such a, you know, do you need more help? And as we think of the ways you could be helped, it could be a new facility that you need. It could be repairs to your facility. It could be people on your board. It could be cash. It could be new spaces just to help women who are being battered. And there's so many things. And you're a very eloquent woman. Clearly, you know what's best. We have a statewide audience. I'm told there's a lot of folks who are extremely kind and considerate out there who hear the program. What are the best ways we could help you in your support of women who are being the subject of violence and other sorts of abuse?
Well, there's a variety of things. We just received a large award from Servco Pacific.
That's right.
They just sold their 500,000th car and selected 10 organizations in the community to give a $25,000 cash award to. Those kinds of gifts are few and far between. That kind of support really can't be matched.
It's very impressive, and it put you in wonderful company. The other people on there are fantastic,
too. It was. I mean, it was exquisite to be there and to see who they picked and how diverse.
Yep. And I know it was an essay by somebody who would.
Who had received our services.
Don't even want to imagine what they've been through. So it's like.
So, I mean, I hate to start with the most base need, but cash and financial support is always a need. I often say in moments of great frustration, you'd think people would be throwing money our way for the hard work that's done. And it's not me. I mean, we have a staff of 45 people who are answering the phones, going to court, I mean, navigating the system,
not an easy
providing
thing.
All the services. Not everybody can do that. These are very dedicated, resourceful, resilient people.
In addition to cash, do you need more of those skilled people?
Well, we need
Are there volunteer opportunities, whether it's, because I'm assuming the lawyers are doing that as a volunteer?
No, these lawyers are on staff.
They're on staff. And then are there financial requirements for the victims in terms of if they can qualify to get the support?
We have a sliding fee. So the more gifts and grants we get, the more people we can serve.
So they pay a reduced fee of some kind.
Right. We don't turn people away if they can't pay. But there are costs to going to court, filing.
Yeah, I mean, law is very expensive. That's why I ask. So there are fees involved. But if a woman
has no income or is very low income, the fees are waived or it's a very small amount to cover costs.
So it's important that people are, if they know, if there's a trouble in your life, you know, and you think this is the place to call them. Don't let the error be that you called.
Yeah, don't be discouraged.
Yeah, first call. Let them talk to you and figure out what's up with it. But anyway,
So the other things that we need are we need everybody to see that they can play a role in helping us address domestic violence. We need the business community to see that victims bring their domestic violence with them to work. So to have informed managers, informed HR people, so they can be supportive. I mean, that's could be a point of entry for a person. Work might be the safest place she goes in a day.
Right.
So if she's ashamed or feels she has to keep it a secret, which many people feel they must, that is going to be dissuasive for her getting the help she needs.
Well, I'm turning that into something else. I'm seeing the cup half full, I guess you're saying also, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong here, but if there are people in the workplace who see a coworker and they suspect something like this is going on, is that also a way that they could reach out to you first?
Absolutely,
and and say, hey, I'm concerned about someone and I heard this thing on the radio and I just felt like, well, maybe before I talk to her, I didn't want to scare her, turn her off, get her mad.
Perfect.
I reach out to you first.
Yep,
so you like that?
Yep,
okay.
That's perfect. So we want employers to see that they can create a supportive workplace. And there's any number of ways that they can do that. It used to be that people believe, oh, well, this is a social services problem. Well, really, it isn't. It's everybody's problem. There are exorbitant costs to the community in addressing domestic violence. So we need everybody to see they can educate themselves. Maybe their church congregation could become better educated, know about their fellow congregants, and step up. People want to act like, well, it's not my business. I shouldn't get involved.
Well, this is what you're saying, is you're kind of painting, again, excuse me, I might not have it right, but it sounds like you're painting a great way for folks to get involved. This is a great first step, so they don't have to go right to that person. They could come to you guys and talk about what they're observing. And that's seems like a cool way to begin that. You're asking people to create little interventions, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You see something going on. It's like the see something, say something
right.
thing that came up after 9/11. But you're adapting that to say, you see it at work, you see anyone in your church, you see somebody in your life, and you regularly see them. It could be a woman at the grocery store who bags your groceries, and you know her by name, and you think something's going on, or you know something's going on, they should reach out to you.
Yeah.
And that's a community service in and of itself.
Yeah. And you can reach out to them. I mean, it's always a good idea to get some more information. But people like to know that people in their life care.
Yeah.
And if you can suspend your judgment and you can have a conversation with an open heart.
Mm.
I mean, there's a lot of judgment and there's a lot of impatience. Like, well, it's obvious he's a jerk. Why didn't she just leave him? I mean, it's a tangled path.
That's why I suggest talking to you guys first, only because you're so... You know what you're doing with it, and it's complicated.
It is complicated. There's one other thing I want to add that we could use some help.
Please.
We are looking to entice the next generation to join us in our work. So young professionals, we need some new members to our board of directors. We want to bridge the gap between the 50-somethings and the 30-somethings, so that they are positioned to take over the work, take the problem seriously, and lead the community to keep addressing domestic violence.
So lawyers especially?
Well, lawyers, advocates, counselors, people.
Anybody who's got the spirit.
Yeah, anybody who's got the spirit.
That's all it's about, really.
Yeah, yeah. Educators. I mean, we got kids in school. Children are coming. Maybe the child, I mean, for many years, people say, well, we need new textbooks. We need iPads for kids. I'm thinking, if a kid has been hiding under their bed overnight because there's domestic violence going on in their home, you could give them the best textbook, the best iPad, the best air conditioner, and they can't think. So we have to have our schools as a safe place for children and mothers or fathers.
Oh, there's a lot of ways that people could support what you're doing, it sounds like, just by looking out for folks who are in need, but also making donations to you and certainly contacting you regarding your outreach to be on the board and do these other things, which are great ways to be a volunteer and or give of your time in a way that helps out people who are truly in need. DomesticViolenceActionCenter.org is your online home.
Right.
The legal helpline we've discussed, 8:30 to 4.
30. Well, yeah. The office is open 8 to 5, but the helpline is functioning from 8:30 to 4:30.
531-3771. Toll-free Neighbor Island Helpline, 800-690-6200. I've got email dvac@stoptheviolence.org. Best of all of their contact information, the radio feature, the full-length interview, and all of our other Helping Hand guests and all their information is at hawaiipublicradio.org, where we keep our Helping Hand segments online. CEO, Domestic Violence Action Center, Nancy Creedman, great pleasure to have you on the program. Super cool to have met you. Wish that we didn't have to meet under these kind of circumstances, but it's just an honor to know that what you're doing, it's an inspiration to try to do more with my own life. And
talk to your brothers. Talk to your men.
I really do appreciate it. I hope you know the door is open and you can contact me. If there's something going on, there's an emergency, something comes up, you think being on the program would help,
you.
Or you have a specific want. And you know this audience might have it for you, because we certainly have a lot of the kind of people that you're looking for. I'm hoping that you're going to get in touch.
Thank you.
On behalf of all those folks you're helping out, thanks for doing this today.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.